This weekend is the Wichita Jazz Festival, and this year's headliner has a connection to Wichita. With me is Matt Wilson, who is a drummer, and I guess that's because they're featuring percussion this year.
Yeah, I believe
they
that's the theme.
Probably wouldn't have invited you if they were featuring the trumpet.
Well, probably not. Though my chops are okay, but I don't keep them up like I should.
Sure. Okay, so you went to school here.
Yes, I did.
You said you came here in 1982.
Yes, I was at Dr. Combs' house last night, and I remember the first time I came here was probably early April of 82 to look at the school. I took the train from Galesburg, Illinois, to Newton, and this gentleman that worked at the train, because the train would get into Newton about 3 a.m.
3 a.m., yeah.
And this gentleman gave me a ride down to the bus station, of all places, and I hung out there till, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 or something like that, which was, a nice introduction to your lovely city. And no, it was great. And Dr. Combs picked me up there, and then I came and visited the school. And I had dinner at his house, and then I waited, and then I think I went right back. I might have spent one night. I don't think so. I think I just did it all in one day.
Really?
And then the train would come back through about midnight, I guess, or 11, I guess. I'd make the train and go back.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then you graduated, you got a bachelor's degree in
percussion performance in 1986.
86.
Yeah.
And then what, 88 for the master's?
I don't have a master's.
Oh,
no.
I thought you did.
No. I left here. I was here for another year. I was playing a lot around town with Steve Story's band and New Graber and a bunch of different people.
You were waiting on Felicia.
We got married in 87, but she finished her degree. She got a ed and performance degree. So she finished in 87. So I just waited around. And then we moved to Boston because she went to dinner masters at NEC.
Good.
At the conservatory.
And so then you moved in 87 to Boston.
Yes.
And you spent how long in Boston?
From 87 until 92. So we were there exactly 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then off to New York.
Yes. We've been in New York since August of 92.
And may I say that it seems that that's worked out well for you?
Yeah, I believe so. it's been very, very good. And what's been great about it for me is the sense of community that's there. But I think for me, what I'm urging is the sense of community that's everywhere with this music. I think the music schools are unfortunately grooming everybody to go there. And I think there's a little bit of a less of an emphasis on that. I think it's great. I think it's better to have people stay where they are and help create scenes and vibes. I mean, if we have great regional scenes, which is one of the things we're trying to really celebrate this week, one of our ideas with the festival when Gray Bishop first sounded me about it was, why don't we do some stuff where we really involve the Wichita community as much as possible and the Wichita musicians? A lot of times festivals have a tendency to bring people in and then and I think we want to celebrate everyone. So I'm a big celebrator of vocal. I was just, this year alone, I've been all over the place, but there's a great scene in Columbus, Ohio. There's a great scene in Des Moines. Des Moines has a really, really strong scene. Yeah. Of great musicians, and they're proud to be there. They love being there. I went to the Des Moines Hall of Fame ceremony where they inducted my friend Bob Washit. I played at that. There was 250 people at this. And they posthumously inducted someone who was a big band leader around town, a African-American gentleman, and his whole family was there. And there's a real sense of community there. Denver has a great, Des Moines, around Madison. I mean, we can really help, the music quite a bit by having these strong local scenes. So I think that's what makes it nice.
So you get to New York, and how long were you there before you got your big award?
I got an award, I guess, for Best New Artist, I think in 97 or so. Oh,
okay, so it took a little while. You weren't an overnight success.
Yeah, it took 23 years to be an overnight success. No, I never really thought about that as much, though. I mean, I figured that success to me is measured that you're doing something. So when I was a kid and I was playing with Marge Fanning, to me, that was a success. And when I was here and I got to play with great musicians here, that was a success. I always thought like, wow, if you're taking care of business in the community you're in and you're getting to play with these great musicians, I'm glad I thought that way. And of course, we always have aspirations to go other places, and do other things. And, but But I think if you remain loyal, you create a nice scene in the place. Rufus Reed, the great bassist and educator and a mentor of mine, actually told me that at an Ambersol camp. He says, Matthew, don't leave a place until you feel it's time to go. Leave in good standing. You know, like they'll let you. They're gonna say go. They're gonna welcome you to leave. You know what I mean? They're gonna say go and spread the word. Rather than if you leave just gruntled, then you know what I mean. You don't want to leave. So that was great. And matter of fact, I those things come back around. Those kinds of instances. So yeah, but I love the New York. I love the New York community. But again, I'm out and about a lot. So I really get to sense. I really like to spread the word about how great local scenes can be, you know, and how we have to have them.
Well, yes.
You know, and all, you know, it just takes a few crazy people. It's a few linchpins, and all of a sudden you've got something going on, and that's what happens. You get a, you know, like my buddy John Poses in Columbia, Missouri. I say this in the press all the time. Columbia, Missouri probably gets the best jazz per capita of anywhere in the United States.
Yes, I would agree with that, and he's really behind all of that.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe he's a little crazy. Because you're in Columbia, Missouri, what are you going to, I mean, that's not an area where you would think jazz would take root.
But, you know, he's created a, people are comfortable and he gets other people to help and want to be involved. And all of a sudden he has this series and
he's like the Moses of jazz.
He is really amazing. And there's other folks like that I don't want to leave out, but they're all over the place. And we just played a really great house concert in Columbus, Ohio. This lady has a series called Jazz at the Bungalow at her house, and 85 people were there.
Wow.
And it was a great feeling because afterwards we were actually using a young bassist because Chris Lightcap, the great contrabassist that plays with me, had to go on and play a gig with Regina Carter. So then it was getting cost prohibitive to get somebody out from New York to Detroit or whatever. So I called Bob Hurst, University of Michigan, my good friend, Robert Hurst, and he recommended this young man, and he played with us. So all these young kids came. They were playing an hour and a half after we were done with him, you know, playing. So we created this whole – that's to me, if I can leave a mark doing that, that's kind of one of my goals.
Well, that's certainly a good goal to have.
Yeah.
Who are you working with in New York these days? You still have the two bands, right?
Well, I actually have a little bit more. I mean, I have the quartet. And that's been the latest record. So we've been really busy this year. I think this is going on to our, 34th or 35th thing this year, you know, date-wise, since January. So that's been nice. And then Arts and Crafts is still very active. And then I have the Carl Sandburg project of the poetry.
That's totally separate project.
Yeah, we're going to be here in July, actually, as part of the Barn Chamber Music Series.
Oh, that's
and that's with Jeff Letter and Martin Wynn, who's from Arts and Crafts, and Don Thompson, who plays guitar and sings.
A good player.
She's great. So, and then I have these, you know, I have these co-op groups, Trio M with Myra Melford and Mark Dresser, a group with Kirk called Sifter, with Mary Halverson, the guitarist, and then I have like the quartet can do stuff with strings. And then we can add four people, and we do a group called Topsy Turvy. We do a lot of like 52nd Street swing music, you know. So there's a lot of different ways that I can, you know, adapt things.
You haven't quite made it up to having the Matt Wilson Big Band yet.
The pile is in the works, but it's hard enough to get four people or five people in one place. Nonetheless, 15. I'd have to really have help. And right now, I don't know if that's really in the cards, but I like large ensemble, you know.
Yeah.
But I've been getting a chance to do a lot of different things still. I mean, last weekend I played with Frank Kimmel's trio with Jay Anderson. I'm playing at the Vanguard in June with a Not Cohen, with Martin Wynn, just trio. I just got done doing a weekend with, I made a lot of nice records the last year that have come out with different people, Gary Simoleon with Dominique Kinesi from The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. So we did that music a few weeks ago. That was with Gary and Martin, and Jeff did the arrangements. So what's really nice right now is that this community thing is happening for me. You know, I get to see, like, Gary's coming in this weekend to play with Allison Miller's band too. So Versace and I will be here together, though we're not here. He's not here with Arts and Crafts. So it's nice. And I've been producing a lot. I just produced Amy Cervini's nice new record called Jazz Country.
Yes. I don't think we've gotten that one, but. We have an earlier one.
Yeah, Blossom Deary one. That's really nice.
Oh, that's very, very nice. And she is also your manager?
Yeah, she's my manager. So, and she keeps me, you know, my hands are free right now because otherwise I'd be in a straitjacket if I didn't, you know, and the family, we appreciate her help with everything. You know, she does a lot of stuff and the band loves her, you know, so she does, she works with me and Marty Ehrlich and a bunch. Last week I played with Marty Ehrlich's big band up in Amherst. That was really fun. I did that record. Kim Popowski's new record. Oh, yeah. Jane Iyer Bloom's really new, really nice new record with a ballads that was nominated for a Grammy. We're playing in a couple of weeks. I'm playing a bunch of piano trio stuff coming up to Denny's Island next weekend with Buster Williams. And then 2 weeks after that, Don Freeman with George Mraz. I've been playing with George a lot.
Oh, really?
With different people again. So that's been nice to play with him. Mm-hmm. And I haven't played with Buster for a little bit, but I'm doing a birthday. I'm turning 50 in September, so I'm doing 4 nights at Dizzy's at Jazz at Lincoln Center. So I'm doing a bunch of different events for that. Arts and Crafts is going to play. The quartet, and then Topsy Turvy. I'm doing a new night with Joe Lovano, Peter Washington, and I think Julian Lage, the great young guitarist. Mm-hmm. And then the next night, hopefully, is a trio with, I know Buster signed up, but with Kenny Barron. So that'll be a nice week have.
That
so
that'll be a very nice happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of different things. You know, and
are you a regular with anybody, like a regular side, like you were with Dina DeRose or somebody like that?
Yeah, I'm still playing with Dina a lot. She has a brand new record coming out in May that we just did.
Tell her to send us one.
Yeah, I will. It's a tribute to Shirley Horn. It's really beautiful. It's with Martin and I. We've been with her for a long time. And Jeremy Pellet is on it, Eric Alexander, Gary Simoleon. It's good. Really nice. Good. From what little I've heard of it, I mean, it felt great going down. Mm-hmm. And I just recorded with another fine singer, Melissa Stagliano, and then I'm doing a date next week with a vocal group with Melissa. That's with Melissa, Amy Cervini, and another singer named Hillary Gardner, and it's like a Boswell Sisters kind of vibe.
Oh, really?
And it's really fun. We just played last week at the 55 Bar, and I love it because it brings me back to the, you know, times where I just like playing time, you know, and I don't have to be artsy guy, whatever. I just like swinging, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, I get, luckily, I don't, the great thing, Bill, that I'm very privileged about is that I don't put any one situation over another.
Yeah.
I don't think any one of them is more important. I don't like to do one of them anymore. All of them feed me. So I love swinging music. I love open, freer stuff, like doing stuff, things at the Stone with Zorn or any of these other those people. I like to embrace it all. To me, it's about the people. It's really not about a classification or a style. So when you get to really know these people and how they can contribute and what kind of clarity and honesty and grace that they offer this music, it's pretty astounding. So that to me is the key, you know, is the people. So it's
now,
fun.
What do I hear that maybe you're trying to break into the radio business now?
I have a show. Yeah. I have a show. It was an 8-show series, and it's on WBGO. It was called The Playdate. And what it was it aired on Tuesdays in February and March, and now it's on Sundays for April and May. But then they're archived online. What it is stuff from their recorded archive. So, for example, there's Wayne Shorter Day, 1982, at William Patterson. Billy Taylor trying out the piano, playing the piano at the BGO studios. They have a performance space. Max Roach live there. Either Orchestra, 1989, Wichita Jazz Festival for Duke Ellington's birthday. Sun Ra's band, Ruth Brown. I mean, there's 8 shows just full of great, great music. So I worked with Becca Pulliam from NPR. She's the one that asked me initially about it. They got a grant, and they wanted me to be the host. So
I wrote a theme song, and Kurt
Konefki and I are the...
Excuse me.
Sorry.
I bumped something, and you need to back up
Sure.
A minute. Just go back.
I'll talk to Becca.
Okay. There we go.
So Becca Pulliam contacted me from National Public Radio and from WBGO about... it took about a year and a half of planning, a year and a half of working out. First, it was just going to be a few shows, and it was just so much music that was great. Great Gary Burton and Chick Corea in Buffalo, Shelly Manns Trio in California. And we found some really only stuff that could happen in certain places, you know, like in New York, certain gigs that could only – Clifford Jordan live at the Vanguard from 1982. Whoa. You know, just things that they did. Mel Lewis's band.
Want to hear both of those.
Yeah, it's great. So you can go through – And there's other stuff online that goes along with it. And I had a blast. So we did the 8 shows. And what was really fun, it was one of the last days we did. The last day we did a show, Dee Dee Bridgewater, who's a friend of mine, she was doing wrapping up a jazz set. Mm-hmm. So we did some promos together for each other's shows. And she's so great. And I love her. And she taught me some things like about radio that I didn't know, you know, like, you know, about reading and counting down and stuff like that, that really helped me. You know, it was, I learned a lot. I listened to those shows and as the shows progress, I had a script, but I would sort of work with it, you know, and move it around a little bit. But it was really, really, really special. A lot of great music. So I had a good time.
You're going to be the next John Pizzarelli.
Yeah, I like, you know, I really enjoy being an advocate for the music as much as possible. I think I enjoy that. I mean, I really enjoy performing, but I really enjoy all this. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy this part of it. I feel like if we have great people out there advocating and being good public relations for the music, it will really help. Because I think people want to be aware of it. I think we assume a lot of times, and I even think the music schools basically tell people, well, you know, nobody really wants to hear this. I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same thing about regions. Oh, yeah, we'll tell people, but, you know, this event will happen, and when John Scofield comes back through, because I just talked to John the other day, he will have heard about the festival around New York, you know, because we will get back and things will be going around. So, you know, I mean, I think that all this kind of stuff helps.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
So you have big plans for the next year or two?
Yeah, I think the next recording I'm going to do is with the Sandberg Music. I really want to try something really different.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of live recordings from both Arts and Crafts and the quartet, so I could probably put some stuff together. I'm interested in sort of releasing smaller records, like little bits here and there, almost like singles. I want to make a solo record. I want to make a series of duos with people. Mm-hmm. So there's that. I kind of go with the flow. There might be some newer projects that are in the works that we'll see about, and I'm just excited to be, again, among all these great musicians and the level and the community that's there. I mean, again, I can't stop stressing that word community. It's great. And also to get out and about. I mean, I really do. I mean, I'm around a lot. I think maybe my next project is a young band, you know, leading a band with a bunch of young musicians. Because I was just a judge at the Monterey Next Generation Festival in California. I teach every year. I was at the Brubeck Colony, Centrum, all these jazz workshops. So I hear these young musicians, and there's an alto player from Folsom, California that I'd have in a band right now. There's a guitar player that I love in New Jersey. This young man is great. There's a young pianist I just heard from California. I mean, you know, I would love to have these guys and be able to bring them around. So it'd be fun to do that.
Good.
So, yeah, I don't really – yeah, I think about those things, but I do have them in my brain. I dream about these things, but I have great – again, I have great company around me. Like Jeff Letter is a big collaborator, and he is someone that I could really go, you know, Jeff, I want to try this. I'll have that third cup of coffee, and I'll call him, Jeff, I want to try this, you know. And he's one of the people that helps me have this stuff come to fruition. So I've been really lucky to keep these bands, you know, going for a long, long time. Terrell and Gary and Martin and the Arts and Crafts and these guys and all these other projects – and they're very loyal, and I think we've created a really nice vibe of this music. So it's been cool to sort of really feel like you've been part of creating a community or a scene. It's been a really nice feeling.
You have a new CD. What's your most recent thing that's
The latest record was The Gathering Call, which came out in January. And that's the quartet with Kirk and Jeff and Chris Lightcap with John Medeski as our guest. So John actually did 11 dates with us. We did the Bistro in St. Louis for four nights. We did Columbia. We did Connecticut, Boston, and then four nights at Dizzy's. Really, really 11 amazing nights. The nights at Dizzy's were fantastic. So, two, they were all great. So, it was really, really fun to have him. And we do another little run with him next March. So, that'll be fun, like five concerts with John. So, it's nice to have him there. He's so great. And it's nice to have him, you know, be playing with him again. He's so fantastic.
We're going to hear what when you're here?
Well, with the quartet, we're playing tomorrow night, Thursday, at the Wichita Art Museum. But tonight is this thing called, that I've experienced some in New York called spontaneous constructions. What we're doing tonight is, I want, again, this is a way I thought would be a great way to start the week, is involving having local musicians and us. And the first half will be back-to-back two-minute duos. So a person will play for 2 minutes, and then the next person will dovetail. We'll do solos. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take a break, and we'll do duos in that format. So unrehearsed, in the moment, can be whatever it wants to be. And I think that would be a great way to, again, have these people meet.
Where will this be?
That's at the Abode.
Oh, okay. And is that open to the public?
Yep. It's 7 o'clock this evening. That's at 7. Tomorrow night is Wichita Art Museum. Saturday, Friday and Saturday are both at the Wichita Festival. Allison Miller's band, who's using Kirk, who she's been using, and Chris. So she's bringing in Versace. So Versace plays with me too. So that's so funny, right? So we'll do that. We're doing a thing. She's doing her band Saturday, and we're doing a couple pieces with the big band. All right. And then Saturday night is a thing called the Gathering Call, which is where we're going to, I think Craig Owens' band is opening for that. Mm-hmm. And then I think William Flynn's band is opening tomorrow night for the quartet.
I think that's what I've heard.
Saturday is a thing called the Gathering Call, where we have this community. So Jeff Letter has this Dixieland band that Kirk and I play in, called the Swing and Dix. We play Swing and Dixieland. And he had a really nice new record with Bob Stewart. So we're going to do that. And then Jeff has a group called the Drunken Sailor, which is like a brass ensemble playing sea songs. So we're going to do that. And Allison will play. I'll play bass drum. She'll play snare drum. And then we're going to do the quartet music that we do with Medeski, with Gary. And Allison and I are going to do a thing together. So we're going to do all these different combinations of people. Oh, we'll do a topsy-turvy repetition featuring Jeff.
Really?
Diabol, you know, the mm-hmm. bird playing on Neil Hefti. That's from that book. So I want, and maybe a tune from Chris's music, Big Mouth, his band, just to show that, wow, this music, we all interact and we all have our own bands, and they do this. So to show that, wow, and within one night, and then involve, you know, Topsy Turvy, will have other Wichita musicians. And then Allie and I are going to lead the first annual Wichita Jazz Festival Ride Cymbal Choir, doing It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, with vocals.
Oh, so man.
Every drummer in town can bring their ride cymbal, and we'll do it. Saturday morning, we're doing an event called Early Bird, where we're going to meet where Charlie Parker recorded his first solos, and invite people from the city to bring their instruments and play their favorite Charlie Parker song at 9 a.m., and we'll have coffee and donuts.
Is this at the office building downtown?
Yeah, where it was. Exactly. The bank building where it was. So we're gonna do that. That was I always wanted to do that. And and we're gonna just send it up to the heavens to Charlie Parker. And so I'm just trying to figure out new ways to with Gray and stuff to energize and try to the history of this festival. What Allison brought up today when we were on television, you know, she's heard about it all her life. You know, I mean, it's a very world famous jazz festival. Mm-hmm. So when you say Wichita around the jazz community, they say, "Oh, Wichita Jazz Festival." Everybody has a story about it.
Yeah,
you know, whether it was their college band that played there, or they played there, or they heard something about it, or they heard about this was going on there, and you know. And I was thinking about today or yesterday on the plane, actually flying, like all the great music that I heard, and a lot of these musicians now I have associations with that mm-hmm. I heard at this festival. That's really crazy.
Yeah.
You know, to be playing with Buster and Kenny Barron, they were here with Sphere or Winton, you know, or Phil Woods' band and all these, you know, all these people that I are really good friends with. John Scofield, I remember when John played here, and I did a great tour with John and Lovano a few years ago. It was a 5-week tour. And I was like, man, I heard you at the Wichita Jazz Festival with Dennis Chambers and Gary Granger. I mean, all these, you know, so this is what this is all about. You hear this music and you go, wow, someday I'd like to be up there with these people.
Yeah.
I did some playing recently with Ilion Ilias, and I remember when we were 1983, when Steps Ahead played, it was Michael Brecker, who I was very good friends with, and then I play a lot with Eddie Gomez now, which is really strange, and he was here at the band, and I'm really good friends with Peter Erskine, and I've become really good friends over the last couple years with Mike Maneri. And so it's just bizarre how, and so I tell these guys these stories, and I remember Iliani walking out and we all were marveled because she was about 23 and she was wearing knee-high leopard skin boots that I'll never forget.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of men in the city who remember those
very well. So it's exciting. You know, this is And this is what I try to spread in education, that you have to dream. You know, you have to dream of what you want to do. You want to know, like, wow, you have to have ideas of, like, wow, I want to try this, and I want to try this, and I want to try this. And my answer to people is yes. If it's legal, the answer is yes. So if you want to have these kind of projects and try it, by all means, do it. And I think that's what's great about communities like this, is that you can try things here and do things, and I think that's what's really important. So my years here are, you know, I talk about it all the time. I mean, we had dinner last night with Dr. J.C. Combs and with Chris and Kirk just coming in today. And I overheard Chris leaning over to Kirk while J.C. and I were talking about something. He goes, this is where it all comes from, man. Check this out. This is where it all comes from. All these ideas, all these, like, we're going to try this, we're going to do this. All the level of thinking about it, too, of beyond just the project. He was like, yeah, I had this filmmaker. I wanted to look this way, and I want to involve these people. And we got back to the hotel, and Chris goes, J.C. Combs is a genius. To hear this, mm-hmm. You know, Chris Lightcap had never met him before. He goes, this guy is, you talked about him, but, man, it's true. This guy is a genius. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's nice to see that we know, you want people to experience
these things. It's always nice to know you're not just crazy.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And we need, what stands, so I try to say to these young people, what stands out are people that do things in unexpected ways. Mm-hmm. All the great musicians we love, Charlie Parker, you know, Phil Shapp says it, Charlie Parker was an avant-garde pop star. You know, his music was cutting edge and it was popular. He was very lucky to have that capacity, but it was also very cutting edge. And so what's great about this area too is that it's rich with the growth of this music, you know, with the territory bands, with the Southwest sound, with Kansas City and Tulsa and Wichita in between. You know, some heavy stuff had gone down in this town always that's helped the development mm-hmm. of this music. So when I work with kids, and I want them to know too, wherever I am, that, wow, this is not just, this music just didn't happen because of people in Chicago or New Orleans or New York or LA. It's happened because of all these places too. It grew out of these kind of places. It incubated, I guess is mm-hmm. the right term. So let them know that they're part of that sound is very, very key. So I try to do that as much as possible. They're connected to it. You know, they're connected. If they're interested in it, they're part of the family tree at this point, as far as I'm concerned. So they're in it. So they have a lot of responsibility, too, to help it out. So they have to do that part.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in. And you need to, you'll be back in the summer.
Yeah, I'll be back in the summer. But, you know, it's people like you, too. I mean, we having radio, having quality, you know, when you were at the station across town when we were younger. And
yes, that was an experience.
Yeah, and documenting music, you know, and uh-huh. things that, you know, I mean, this is all, I tell students, we have to remind ourselves in the community that it's not just the musicians, you know. It's people that have the guts to want to be a part of booking a festival. It's a big undertaking, you know, and getting sponsors and getting help and getting this and having radio and having great people that can write about the music. And it's all about – so this community is we have to embrace and celebrate all of those people. So that's why I like going out and doing these events as much as possible, because I love the hang, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a famous hanger. But I like that part of it.
So. Yeah, we all are.
You well, dig.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. And Bill Pierce, baby.
I will be talking to you probably again in July.
Yeah, we come back for the Sandberg. Thank you.
Good.